praise his mighty name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Praise. The Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise his name.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise his name.
For the rest of my life.
Forever proclaim.
He's good. He's good.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise his name.
Come on, if you believe it, give him praise like he is good tonight. Oh, if you believe it, give him glory. Oh, no other name. Give it among men. Come on, no other name like Jesus. Praise that name tonight. Oh, like Jesus. Come on, do you know that to be true tonight? There's nobody like him. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Bless the Lord, for he is good. Magnify the name of... I feel the Holy Ghost in the house tonight. Come on, someone can get a breakthrough right now. Someone can get a breakthrough right now. I know it's a Wednesday night, but if you want to shout, shout. If you want to take a lap around the church, in spite of your circumstance, in spite of your situation, because the Lord is good all the time. Come on, the Lord is good all the time. The Lord is good all the time. And all the time he is good. Come on, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord, and he changes not. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you till the end. And my God can do everything. My God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for my God. And with him, all things are possible. My God. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, you might as well rejoice about it tonight. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, Savior. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hey, somebody need to hear that tonight. Maybe the devil's been on your case. Maybe you've been in your own mind today. But somebody needs to hear that God is still good. God is still able. Oh, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the politician says. I don't care what the banker says. I don't care what the doctor says. God is still good. Oh, yes, Lord. Clap your hands and give God praise in the house. We love you, Savior. We glorify you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. Remain standing. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Brother O'Connor's mom, Michelle O'Connor, needs healing and mostly salvation. Amen. If God's not going to heal, we need to be saved. And if God's going to heal, we still need to be saved. Amen. So touch her. Also pray for Brother Myers and Sister Megan, not feeling well tonight. If you have a need or know somebody who has a need, always remember Heather Smallwood in your prayers. If anybody else has a need tonight, just lift their name to the Lord right now. Savior, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless tonight, that you would heal tonight, Lord, right now. Heal the mind, heal the heart, heal the soul, the spirit, God, the doubt, the fear, the unbelief. God, we pray that your will would be done in the name of Jesus Christ. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. If you believe he's able, give him a glory right now. Give him praise. We thank you, Lord God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Ushers are preparing to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering as they are preparing. Remember your personal daily devotion. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. Pray for the church family, for our city, our valley, and our nation. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Amen. Revival and evangelism. Let's get out there and witness. Let's be a witness. Sometimes it's not just knocking doors and inviting folks. It's how we live, how we talk, how we act, and what we make priorities. Here's an easy way to witness to somebody. If they invite you somewhere, it's on a church night, say, I can't come. It's church night, but let's take it. Oh, you go to church? Yeah. And then you witness to them. Or always bring up the church. Somebody in my church. You can tell something about somebody in your church all the time. As long as it's positive. If you tell a bunch of negative things about the people in your church or the church, don't be shocked when people don't want to come and be a part of it. So it's easy to always talk about the things of God if it's on your mind and in your heart, because you always talk about what's on your mind and in your heart. And so the greatest position in the church is that of a soul winner. Let's stay prayed up, carry church cards, invite someone into your life. Amen. Let's also remember to pray for our building program. We are in a crunch time. These two young men that have been mudding and doing texture, I don't know, but they do it for a living. That's part of it. They do it every day. That's part of it. But they've done more in the day and a half than we have labored for, I think, almost 2 weeks. Now, we cared more. Now, that is a fact. We cared more. But guess what? When you go into your house, you don't really look at the texture. It's painted, and you just take it for granted. So that's what we're looking forward to. We're just looking forward to taking it for granted. When we're doing it ourselves, we want it just to be exactly perfect. And they go, look, bro, we'll hide it. Just don't worry about it. Go somewhere and come back when it's done. So, but we have site work needs to be done. Electrical work needs to be done. All these things need to be done. And they dovetail and overlap. They're domino effects. And we need God to help us. I know you probably remember this, but if, in case you forgot, all 200 chairs are in our storage in front of our fireworks material. So somehow between now and then, we either need to get them moved to the church or get them out, get all our fireworks stuff out, and get them all back in. We need help. We need prayer. We need God to help us and give us logistic grace and mercy. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for the ongoing revival that God is giving us. Let's pray for our young people. Let's pray for our new converts. Let's pray for our old converts. Let's pray for our church family. Amen. Let's stand together and pray for the offering tonight. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the victory we feel in this house, the revival we feel in this house. We ask you to bless the remainder of this service, bless the gift and the giver. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
your voice and help us sing.
I am redeemed, 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 I am redeemed.
Hallelujah, raise your voice and shout it.
I am redeemed, I am redeemed,
I am redeemed,
I am redeemed, I am redeemed,
oh,
I am redeemed, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed,
I am redeemed, I am redeemed, I am redeemed, I am redeemed, I am redeemed.
Oh, rise up,
let the redeemed of the Lord rise up.
Anybody redeemed in the house of the Lord tonight? Come on, has God brought anybody out of the miry clay? Come on, has God brought anybody out of the darkness into this marvelous light? We worship you, Jesus. Come on, are you thankful? Say so. Are you thankful? Rise up. We worship you, Savior. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, James chapter 1. While you're turning there, I heard a word today. A man was talking about, we don't just go to church to hear a good sermon. The argument in today's world is that you can hear a good sermon anywhere. Their argument, not ours. Not the true church's argument, but the denominational world, they can stay home, and if they're all going to go to church for an hour in their flip-flops or Bermuda shorts, they might as well just stay home and listen to it online. In fact, someone said that by 2040, they predict that 80% of churches are going to be closing down because the generation that is coming up doesn't want to give their money, their time, or effort to something they can get online. I mean, brick and mortar stores are closing down all the time because we can order it. They got self-checkout because nobody wants to go to the store anymore. They got grocery pickup because nobody wants to go. They don't have time. They're too busy. So said all that to say this, that this person said, we don't just go to church for a good sermon. We want that. We need that. That's part of it. But the other part of it is the fellowship. And he used the word koinonia. I remember that word from a long time ago, not realizing that it was Greek, but there was a band. There was a gospel band that just played instrumental. And their name was Koinonia. That word is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse number 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. That word fellowship is Koinonia. It means partnership. That is literally participation, social interaction, benefaction, to communicate or to have communion, distribution, and fellowship. It comes from the word koinos, which means a sharer, an associate, a companion, which comes from the word which means common. They had everything common. They had the same goal. They had the same mindset. They had the same zeal. unanimously passionate. Acts chapter 2, one accord in one place. But what's so amazing to me about this word, it's used 20 times in the Bible. It's doctrine and fellowship in Acts 2:42. It's contribution in Romans 15. It's fellowship in Corinthians 1 and 9. It's communion of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 10, 16. It's communion. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what fellowship hath light with darkness? It's saying, why would we partner up with darkness? Why would we be a sharer in darkness? If we're going to be the light, then let's be the light. Let's be a participant in the light. It goes on to talk about fellowship in Galatians, fellowship in Ephesians, fellowship in the gospel in Philippians 1:5, fellowship of the Spirit, fellowship of his suffering. Well, I don't want to go through any hard times. Well, how are you going to know with the power of the resurrection? How are you going to know about his delivering power? How are you going to know he's a prayer answering God? How are you going to know he's good all the time? So anyway, why am I saying all this? Well, for one, it was on my mind all day and it kept coming back to me. So I thought, well, I need to share that. Maybe somebody in the house thinks, well, you know, church is good, church is optional, church is, no, this is our life. This is what we are. This is who we are. He brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I want to partner. I want to shoulder this load. I want to be in fellowship. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be an island unto myself. I don't want to, church is over and I'm gone. The church isn't going on, I'm not around. I want to be with the people of God. I want to be around the people of God. I want to invite them to dinner. I want to go to their house for. I want to go to the park with them on a Saturday randomly. Why? Because that's fellowship. Take them camping. Go do something with the church. So that way, when you need someone to pray for you, you're not alone. When you need somebody to encourage you, you're not alone. When you need somebody to get you out, hey, I'm going to tell you what a true friend does. I saw just a clip several months ago of a lady in the car. She's crying. I didn't see her friend. I didn't see the person beside her, but she was complaining to her friend about how her life was so hard. It was so rough. She couldn't handle it anymore. She began to cry. And her friend began to make some noise and kind of almost giggled. And the lady goes, what's so funny? She said, oh, nothing. She said, no, tell me, you're already laughing at me. She said, you have an ugly cry. And she said, I hate you. And within 5 seconds of that comment, they were both busting up laughing. And her friend says, you feel better? She said, yes, thank you. That's friendship. That's someone knowing you're just being too drama. We need that. Because you know what? What we really have is first world problems. Praying for Brother Steve Arnold the other day. Had surgery. God just healed him of cancer. God just healed him of liver. All these things, esophagus, liver. And then he had a lesion on his brain that was caused him to go blind and not be able to see. And we complain because I'll take my troubles. I'll take my troubles. I'm not too far. I'm not that. And thank God there's a church family. Thank God there's fellowship. You can make some phone calls across the country and churches and people can pray. I'm thankful for that. Are you thankful for that tonight? Come on, let's lift our hands right now and thank the God. Thank the Lord for the church. Let's thank God for the church tonight. Come on, while we're thanking God for church, let's thank God for the people of God. It's an old song that says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm not looking for friendship in the world. I'm not looking for reprieve in the world. I don't need a vacation from God. I don't need a vacation from the church. I thank God a church family would sacrifice their time and effort and energy. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this tonight. Someone needed to hear this. Someone needed to be encouraged by this. Someone needed to make sure you participate in this. Oh, hallelujah to God. Amen, amen, amen. I thank God. If it wasn't for the church family, if it wasn't for the church, I would not have made it as a teenager. If it wasn't for the church, I wouldn't have made it as a young adult. If it wasn't for the church, we would have had nobody to look to and pattern our life after as young married couples. Amen. I so what about your parents? Well, my mom is getting ready to celebrate 40 years of marriage this October, and my wife and I are celebrating 31. Do the math on that one. You know, when we got married, they weren't married very long, and it was still new, and it was still new to Martin, and it was new convert still, you know. I mean, obviously 10 years in the church by that time, but everything was still, you had to look for people. And then thank God there's options, and thank God there's families, you know. So I thank God for all that. And I want to be that kind of church that people can come and be a part of and feel safe here. Amen. James chapter 1, verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. It's empty. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion, undefiled before God. I want to preach tonight on this simple title: pure religion. Pure religion. Can we lift our hands all over this house tonight? Savior, I glorify you today. God, I love you, Savior. I worship you today. God, I magnify your name, my King. I glorify you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. There's a lot in this statement of Scripture to unpack, and we don't have time to unpack it all tonight. But I do want to throw this one out. Brother Mayo mentioned this in his devotion just a few days ago, that Brother Wilbanks said that this is a mirror. If we don't like what we see in the mirror, we need to do something about it. If God shows me something, if the preacher preaches something, if God lays it on my heart, or if it convicts me. So how do I know if it convicts me? Sometimes if it makes you mad, that means it convicted you. If it makes you upset, not want to come back, that's usually because we got convicted. You say, well, no, it was an offense. Well, the Bible says offenses must needs come. They're going to. And if a man doesn't offend in word, he's a perfect man. So there's going to be times when things are going to be said, they're going to be said in a certain way that they may offend. But if they're true, was it Paul that said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I want to be saved. The mirror will tell me a lot of things if I look at it. The mirror will tell me a lot of things if I listen to it. And so I want to make sure that I'm doing my part to reflect what that mirror is reflected and be what I want that mirror to reflect. The way to do that is pure religion. The Bible goes on to tell us that it's undefiled before God and the Father is this. We need to make sure that we visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. But we need to make sure that we keep ourselves. See, this is not just a humanitarian effort. This is not just a food. I want to make sure I keep myself unspotted from the world. Amen. Religious means this. Religion means ceremonious in worship or demonstrative or pious. It can look pious. Oh, you're just self-righteous. No, I'm trying to make myself pure before God. I want to make sure that I am religious, but I don't want my religion to be empty. I don't want my religion to be profitless. I don't want my religion to become an idol. I don't want it to be vain in worship. I don't want it to be to worship religion itself. I don't want it to be empty. I want it to be pure. I want it to be clean. I want it to be unsoiled and undefiled. I want it to be pure. James 3:17, but wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without propriety or partiality, and without hypocrisy. Pure means clean. That means innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, or pure. Peaceable means pacified, pacific, or solitary. It means peaceable. Gentle means appropriate, mild, moderation, patient. Easily entreated means good for persuasion. That means I'm going to listen when I'm being talked to. That means I'm going to self-examine while I'm being talked to. How is this affecting me? Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. I want to make sure that I'm flexible. I want to make sure that I don't want to be a stiff neck. The stiff-necked people were not the people that God was wanting to work with. He said, oh, you stiff-necked people. Huh? He said, oh, you hard-headed people. The hard-hearted people. Amen. It means compliant. Compliant. That's what easily entreated means. Compliant. It means that I'm going to listen and I'm going to try to apply this in my life. Full of mercy, compassion, human or divine, especially active. I want to have active mercy. I don't want to be someone who always thinks that everyone's out to get me, that everyone's bad. I don't want a critical spirit. I don't want a bitter spirit. A critical spirit will lead to a bitter spirit. And a bitter spirit always has a critical spirit. Everyone's out to get you. Everyone's out. Your doesn't have your best interest at heart. And what happens is you become the victim. But you're not the victim of them. You're the victim of yourself and your own bitterness. I want to have mercy. I want to be without partiality. That means undistinguished or impartial. I want to make sure that you can't tell who pays the most tithe to the church by the way I act. I want you to know that I don't want you to be able to know who treats me the greatest in the church. I don't want you to know who's my best friend, who's not my best friend. I want to treat everybody without partiality. I want to talk to the least of them as I would the greatest of them. Hey, let me tell you don't have power until you treat people with dignity who cannot help you. Amen. Without hypocrisy. I want to be sincere. I want to be without dissimulation. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Here's the deal. God knows our heart. Everyone else we can fool. Everyone else we can, they can sing our praises to our grave. They can sing our praise. See, I wanna have my funeral before I die. I want to hear all the stuff that supposedly I was good at, and I lit up the room, and everybody just loved me before I die. I want to hear that. Why wait until, hey, let's just record it now. When you feel lonely, you can play your funeral. You feel down, you can play your ceremony. Hey, that's what they're going to say when I die. Praise God. It could be good. But here's the deal. They can sing your praises at your funeral. They can give you the biggest plot in the cemetery. But God knows your heart. And they can say all they want to say about how, you know, the Lord just had to scoot over on the throne so you could sit beside him. And what they don't realize is that God said, I never knew you. Pure heart is between me and God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want a pure heart. I don't care if I got my pastor fooled. I don't care if I got my spouse fooled. I want to make sure God knows my heart. Amen. A pure heart leads to a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 1:3, and as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in the faith. So do. Now the end of that commandment, of the commandment, is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned, for which some have swerved to miss the mark, that is to deviate from the truth, and turned aside also unto vain jangling. That means random talk, babble. Proverbs 15:26 said, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Can we try to have pleasant words? You say, Pastor, you just said that someone told their friend their cry was ugly. You got to be a good friend to be able to talk to them like that. You got to have some credibility to have that kind of accountability. And you got to have accountability to have that kind of credibility. There are times when sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all, just be there for them. But pleasant words are pure. Words of the pure are pleasant. So he goes on in Timothy to say, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. The Bible goes on to tell us in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If we're in the church, seek peace. Well, that was a hesitation there. Without peace, no man. Without holiness, yes, but also peace. I want to make sure I'm holy, but I want to make sure I'm holy on the inside as well as the outside. I want to make sure I'm following faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. A pure conscience makes me want to pray for my church family. A pure conscience makes me want to pray for my city. A pure conscience lets me go to bed at night not thinking that everyone's out to get me and that I'm not. Well, that's the truth. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what we've got away from preaching about? Sin. Not just us, but the church as a whole. We always got to encourage people. We always got to lift folks up. We always got to pat them on the back. We always got to make sure they feel good about themselves. Part of the reason why we fall into messes is because we're living in sin. We're not making good decisions. We're not doing the right things. Now, it rains on the just and the unjust. But I'm going to tell you something. When it's always coming down in your world, and it's always bad in your world, I would do some self-examination. I would want to make sure that my heart is pure. And if it's pure, then I got a pure conscience. But if I don't ever think I do anything wrong, if I think everything I say is right, every decision I make is right, even though I sought no counsel and I never prayed about it, I'm the smartest person in the room. Paul laughed when I said I was, if I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in my own room by myself. And she laughed. I thought that was funny. She laughed even harder if I said I was the dumbest person in the room. I don't have to be alone for that one. I got to understand that I'm not perfect. Oh. I got to understand that I make mistakes. I let my flesh get a hold of me. I let my frustration get the best of me sometimes. Well, nobody else does, but Pastor does. I just got frustrated right there. Because none of y'all want to admit that you get frustrated too. Well, it's awful quiet. Praise God. Guess I'm preaching to myself tonight. Y'all can go to In-N-Out or Dairy Queen, wherever y'all want to go. I'm going to finish this message because I need to hear it. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Isn't that crazy? You can't say anything to some people without them taking it the wrong way. No matter how you say it, no matter what you do, no matter how you come across, you could say something in passing and someone took offense to it. Because that's the way you think. That's the way we always think the worst if we're not careful. I'm not getting a bunch of amens tonight. I'm doing this by myself. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works, unto every good work reprobate. Their actions, their works, their deeds prove they don't know God. Their decisions, I've had people wax eloquent on how God thought about certain things, and they're not here today. And they're not even in the church. But I always want to tell you how you did it wrong. Let your actions speak. I mean, let your actions speak. You can speak with swelling words, but if your heart's not pure, if your motives aren't pure, amen, unto them, their religion is ceremonial. It's just vain. Jesus said this, we know what we worship. We worship because salvation's of the Jews. The hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't want just truth. I want spirit as well. But I don't want just spirit without truth. The reason why we can worship the way we do is because we have truth. The reason we can run the aisles is because we have truth. And the reason we run is because we got spirit to go along with that truth. The reason I shout, because I got a pure heart and a pure mind. And I'm worshiping God because that's what he's seeking. Amen. God requires purity. Deuteronomy 10:12. What doth God, the Lord God, require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Micah 6:8. He has showed me, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of me, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Can I just tell you tonight, God does require things from us. This is not sloppy agape. This is not just ho-hum, half-hearted, but God requires. There are some things that we've got to do to come to God. He requires. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this. Visit the father. Visit the widow in their affliction. But also keep yourself unspotted from the world. You can't look like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, and be pure. You can't indulge in worldly activities, worldly entertainment, worldly language. They have a different talk than us. They knew that Peter was different, not because of what he was acting like, but because of his speech. He was too close to Jesus to hide his speech. They have a different language than us. They talk about sports. They talk about Hollywood. Can I just tell you this? They talk about politics. They get wrapped up in all this carnal stuff. But can I tell you, I want to talk about the heavenly. I want to talk about the dynamic. I want to talk about revival and the church and what God's doing. They don't understand that language. I don't want their language. I want my words. I want my words to be unspotted from the world. Amen. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I want to see him. I want this world to not be my home. I'm just passing through. And the only way I know to do it is to purify myself as he is pure. The Bible said, be holy as he is holy. I want to be pure as he is pure. Amen. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the church he's looking for. That's the church he's looking for. Lay aside, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of another man's sin. Keep thyself pure. Guard thyself. Guard your heart. If you wouldn't let your kids watch it, you shouldn't watch it. If you wouldn't let your kids listen to it, you shouldn't listen to it. If you wouldn't let your kids see it, you shouldn't see it. And if you can't control it, then you need to throw it out so that they don't see it. Guard yourself. Pure religion. I want to see Jesus. I want to be able to say, come quickly, Lord. You know, when you start talking about heaven, you start talking about come quickly, you start talking about all these things, there is a group that gets excited, and there are people who don't get excited because all of a sudden it brings the fact they're not ready. They're not where they need to be. They're not there yet, but whatever the case may be. But can I tell you, when you're doing the best you can, your prayer is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hey, this is hard. Hey, it's hard to live for God right. You got to put a lot of effort into it. And you know what? I understand what I'm living for God. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I got to guard myself. I got to walk circumspectly before the Lord. I want to make sure I put my feet in the right place. And so with all that, man, we were at the house today, and I had Chase and Rhett outside, and they like to take their shoes off and run around out in the grass and that little dirt area. They were throwing balls out there, and Chase started running over. I'm like, whoa, buddy, don't go out there without shoes on. He's like, why? I said, there's goat heads and thorns out there. He's like, I'm fine. I said, all right, Carson, go right on ahead. You know what he did? He tiptoed. He walked slow. He walked around. He looked where every step went. I thought it would have been a lot easier to put your shoes on. Then all of a sudden it became, because he didn't step on something, it became a challenge. Let's see if I can throw the ball out there further. Evidently, you've never stepped on a goat head. I've stepped on a goat head that went through my shoes. I can't imagine stepping on one. Well, I have, because you live out there, they're getting the rugs, they're getting the welcome mats, they're getting everything, and you come in the house, and you step out of the shower, you step on one of those, about fall over and kill yourself. Hang yourself by the shower curtain, all because you stepped on a goat head. I'm not walking outside barefooted. I learned that lesson. I want to walk circumspectly before the Lord. I don't want to say I'm still in this world. I don't want to chance it. I don't want to live all this life and not make it. Amen. The Bible says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Jude 1:23. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I want to be holy. But this flesh does not. I don't even want to mention the name, but you got it to tell the story. There's a group out there called Spiritual Abuse, and all they're looking for is things that happen in churches. It don't matter what church it is. They just want things that happen in church. Guess what? Things happen in churches, things happen in schools, things happen on jobs, things happen everywhere. They want to focus on spiritual abuse. I told my wife today, I said, you know what? We need to start one of those pages called Carnal Abuse. About all the people that we helped and all the money that we've given to people and all the times we've given people ourselves. And guess what? They left us and stabbed us in the back. We didn't post about it. And there's a whole lot more of that going on. There's a whole lot more folks that have left the church than being mad at the preacher and the pastor's wife and the saint and the guy sitting across the aisle from them. Then yes, there are people, and they should be hung by their toenails. If you do something wrong to a child, Idaho's fixing that. July 1st, should have been doing that a long time ago. Been a whole lot less of it. Well, that's the truth anyhow. Hey, you know what? If you're stealing things, give them consequences. If you're hurting children or women, give them consequences. You hurt a child, that was your last breath, in my humble opinion. You're already on borrowed time, going through the whole process. You're already on borrowed time. There's got to be a process, but you know what I mean? There's obvious stuff. We're not talking about all that tonight. But what we're talking about is this. I want to make sure that I'm pure. I want to make sure that my past is behind me. And thank God our past is behind us. Thank God the things that are under the blood, I can't see anymore. I want to make sure that I'm walking, because I've got the, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is Jesus. And so I want to be diligent. I want to be diligent. I want to hate even my garment being spotted by the flesh. I don't want to go somewhere that my spiritual garments can be dirtied. Whether it's on the internet, whether it's in the world, whether it's with certain people, it doesn't matter. The Bible says in Jude 1:24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. He's able to keep us pure. He's able to keep us clean. He's able to keep. Hey, it doesn't matter what we did before Calvary. It doesn't matter what we did before the blood. He's able to keep us clean and at pure religion once we find him. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Pure minds have pure thoughts, and pure thoughts bring pure praise. This second epistle, beloved, that I now write unto you, in both that which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The devil would like to tell us that we are a victim of our past, or we are defined by our past, or we're defined by our hurts, or we're defined by our injustices. But I've come tonight to tell you and to remind you and to stir up your pure mind that God is able to keep you from falling, and that God has forgiven your sins, and through him you are clean. You're washed. You're purified. You're justified. And so if anything would steal your praise, let me just give you this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what I want? I want a pure mind to give God pure praise. I want a pure conscience to give God pure praise. I want a pure heart to lift up holy hands without wrath and anger and doubting and give God pure. Hey, can we give him pure praise right now? Come on, can we give God pure praise right now? I am victorious. I'm on the winning side. I am forgiven. I am washed. I am clean. Come on, how does a young man cleanse his way, cleanse his heart? By taking heed thereunto, unto the word. And since I took heed to the word, my past is forgiven. There's a new name written down in glory. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm purified. I'm justified. And I'm on my way. I know what the government may say about me. I know what my family may say about me. But I know what Jesus is going to say about me. Come on, it doesn't matter what my record shows. My record's clean. I settled that account. Come on, the old account was settled long ago. The old account was settled long ago. Oh, someone give him pure praise tonight. Someone give him holy praise tonight. Come on, don't let your past, don't let your failures dictate your worship. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on what's true. I know what's true. There's one God, and his name is Jesus. I know what's honest. God saved me. God brought me out of the miry clay. That's what I know. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. I feel hearts being purified tonight. Come on, lift your voice, lift your heart, lift your hands. Give him glory, give him praise. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Are you glad to be in the church tonight? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you glad to be among pure people, honest people, just people, holy people? We glorify you, Savior. Amen. What I was, what I did, is under the blood. Such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're purified. You're justified. I'm not what I used to be. I got pure religion. Amen. And then if peradventure, I don't think so, but if peradventure there was someone here playing the hypocrite part. Let God convict you tonight. Let God talk to you tonight. Say, you know what? I got it all worked out. God's here. I got a good church. We're in revival. I got a good church family. Let me just live the way I'm supposed to live and do what I'm supposed to do and be what I'm supposed to be, where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, and do what I'm supposed to be doing. And watch God start changing things in your life and your heart and your thinking. I don't want a critical mind. I don't want to think that everybody's out to get me and that everyone is bad and everything that's said was meant to hurt. I don't want to think that way. I want pure thoughts. I want pure thoughts. I want a pure heart, and I want a pure conscience. Let's lift our hands one more time because he's good. Come on, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voice, lift your heart, lift your hand right now. Come on, purify me and make me new. Oh, Jesus. God, I worship you tonight. God, I glorify you tonight. God, I love you, Jesus. So I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. God, I worship your blessed name, my King. God, I love you today, my Jesus. God, I thank you today, my Jesus.
I want to be whole, holy like you. I want to be
holy. I want to be holy.
Holy like you. Holy Spirit, purify me, cleanse and make me new. I want to be whole, holy like you. I want to be whole, holy like you. I want to be holy, holy like you.
Sing it one more time.
Oh, I want to be holy, holy like you. I want to be holy, holy like you. Holy Spirit, purify me, cleanse and make me new. I want to be.
Can we sing that part one more time? Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, purify me. Cleanse and make me new. I want to be holy, holy like you.
Oh, let's love the Lord right now. Let's praise him. Holy Spirit, purify me. Holy Spirit, purify me. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus. Amen. The awesome part about it all is this. If the world got your garment dirty, if you went someplace, did something, said something, thought something that you shouldn't have done, whatever, all you have to do is pray that prayer. Holy Spirit, purify me. Cleanse and make me new. We are saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And once the Holy Ghost has renewed us and we're washed, we're pure. No questions asked. No no residual effect. So touch the Lord every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. And make that your prayer. Holy Spirit, purify me. Cleanse and make me new. Because I want to be holy. Holy like you. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord tonight. Thank the Lord for your goodness. Thank the Lord for your grace. Thank the Lord for your purity. Amen, amen, amen. Let's spend some time tonight. Greet one another. Spend some time in fellowship. It's a little bit early. Go ahead. Shake someone's hand across the aisle. Go over and greet somebody in Jesus' name. God bless you as you're dismissed tonight.